Anyways, here we are, and we want to continue in our little series as we're talking about something I believe is very, very important. And before I do, I just want to say, as it's just coming to my mind, just to say, and that is, you know, on my desk, I a little piece of paper, and I wrote down five or six things that I'm looking at this year. They're not, you know, I don't really have, it's like, you know, Bob, what's your New Year's resolution? The same as last year? Well, what is last year? The same as it was the year before? You know, the year before and the year, I'm still working on them all, really. But I think it is good to have some goals. If you shoot for nothing, be sure and, you know, as we say, you're going to hit nothing. And I think that I can say last year one of my goals was to exercise and be consistent and go into the gym. And I think I can say it's been a year. And I'm at the gym four or five times a week. So, yeah, I know I did it. So I think, I know, come on. So there it is, you know. Again, just to say to you, yeah, crystallize some things. You know, don't shoot for the moon, shoot for the trees, right? That, you know, a couple of things you can do. It's like, and something a little bit more than, you know, instead of 10 Oreo cookies, I'm only going to eat 5. But set some things. You know, look at some things, crystallize some things in seriously. You know, along with my going to the gym four or five times a week and being consistent there have been some ancillary disciplines that have arisen out of that. For instance, I'm up and out of the house by 4:30 in the morning. So, you know, early rising, and it's a habit. Even when I'm not going to the gym or don't have to get up early, I'm awake like at 3 o'clock. Drive Sandra nuts, but I'm up, you know. Yeah, I do. I'm not. Yeah, if you call me at 8 o'clock, and I don't answer, you know I'm in bed. But it's true. I am in bed early. But there are other disciplines, you know, and so that I can be at it and so on. And I lost 30 pounds as well, and disciplined myself with, you know, with some eating things. I still enjoy. Chocolate and popcorn and all that, but just not so much, you know. Anyways, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I just want to remind you that I want to donate to the prayer.
Thank you. Yeah, so please pick your prayer partner today. Lucy, don't leave here, ladies, without seeing Lucy. This is very important. Forgive me that we didn't get to you earlier. Thank you for stopping me. So please, we want to stay up on that, okay? But having said that, what I'm about to share with you this morning also goes along with that. This is now the third day, I'm working my way again through Genesis. This is the third day. I read 3 pages a day, so I'm on page 9. Actually, I'm a little ahead. I'm on page 10 of my Bible, this being the third day. My Bible reading to finish the Bible in 1 year, well on track again. Besides that, as you know, I'm reading read the book of Psalms every month, read the book of Proverbs every month. I read from my Spanish Bible every day, and so on. So I trust that you're on track, but that's to say that what we're going to be talking about goes along with maybe crystallizing some things in your own minds and hearts today to get on track with a spiritual focus for your life. Is that cool? Hey, let's start, as is our MO, by looking at some scriptures, okay? And I have a couple of them, so be patient with me, but I want to start at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, a famous scripture verse, and has to do with this next, which is a part 2, from last week's message on doing devotions daily. Remember, doing devotions daily, or 3D, doing devotions daily. And we looked in particular at Bible reading last week, Bible reading. And so here's a verse of scripture as we continue part two of the first part of our series on Bible reading. But verse 12 says this. It says, "For the word of God is living and active." And so here we're told something about the Bible. What we're told is that this is no ordinary book. When you read this book, it's light years away from any other kind of material or book that you're going to be reading. There's something inherent in this book that makes it, what's it say? Living and active. This book is alive and it works. You get it? And then he says, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I'll stop there. Not going to delineate or get into this verse of scripture other than to say that the Word of God goes deep into our lives, in that it's active, in that it's working. That activity and that working penetrates deep within us, unlike any other source, unlike any other kind of reading material that we can get a hold of. So, in one sense, this is a very dangerous book right here. These are very dangerous words right here. Then, let's go to, Psalm 86:11. We'll go to our key verse, if you want to call it that this morning, our key verse, Psalm 86:11. And all of these scripture verses, I know that those of you who have been with me for enough time as I speak know that as I read these scripture verses, they're directly connected to, related to what we want to talk about. Okay, so I'm not just spouting off things and something that we just read it as a platform and never get back to it. No, these are things that are woven into anything that I am going to be saying. And here's a verse of scripture, Psalm 86:11, and it's a prayer. And as you might be aware, all of the Psalms are prayers. They're called that. The psalmist, I forget where it is at the end of one Psalms, calls them prayers. So we think of them as songs, and they are, but they're prayers, prayers that are put to music and sung, and they're directed to God. That's what praying is, right? And so here's a prayer, Psalm 86:11, and he says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart, or give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." It's a prayer. Then I want you to look at quickly with me, 1 John, this is going back over in the New Testament towards the end of your Bibles, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And here's an important scripture on praying. Important scripture on praying. We're going to read, and you can mark this if you're taking notes, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, which says, "Devote yourselves to praying." What's it say? Devote yourselves to praying. Then here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God." This is the confidence that we have when we pray. When we pray, approaching God in prayer. He says that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us, whatever we ask. We know, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have, that what we have asked, we know that we have what we have asked for. Wow. That's a pretty powerful scripture. And notice the qualifier, that if we ask anything, what? Huh? according to his will. So it's not just a, rub the magic, lamp here and, your wish is my command, right? No, it's according to what? His will. But nevertheless, a pretty powerful, ask whatever you will according to his will. And he hears us and it's answered. Pretty powerful when it comes to prayer. So devote yourselves to prayer. And so doing devotions daily. Doing devotions daily. Now, have you ever had a bad habit and tried to break it? If you have, you know that bad habits are not easily broken, right? They're not. Well, in the same token that bad habits are not easily broken, good habits are not easily gotten. They're not good habits. You've got to be worked at. When I, started developing the habit of going to the gym, let's say, ooh, man, here's the first thing I had to do in developing that habit. Pay no attention to my mind when I woke up. I'm not kidding you. I would pay myself no attention because everything within me was saying, where are you going? I'm not kidding you. I would not answer myself. The next thing, take a look at the clock. I would not look. I would not look. And it was like, don't you feel tired and just rather lay back down here? I would not answer. I would just keep on going. Sit up, get dressed, and just go. And I'm really not kidding you. I would pay no attention to myself. That the good habit was not easily gotten. And so doing our devotions daily, I think all of us would agree, it's a good habit. It's a good habit. And it's not easily gotten. Because in the getting of the good habit, some bad habits have to be broken at the same time. And so this is what we're going after in doing devotions daily. It kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Doing devotions daily. Doing devotions daily. Doing devotions daily, right? We could almost make a jingle out of it and a little bit of a dance, couldn't we? Do devotions daily. We almost could, but we won't. But do devotions daily. And the flip side to Bible reading, as we started last week, doing our devotions daily, which includes Bible reading, I want to look at the flip side of that. Doing devotions daily, reading our Bibles, is a mix. Here's the flip side. Is a mix of doing it, doing it with Bible praying. Okay, so there you have it. Bible reading, doing devotions daily, with Bible praying. Doing devotions daily. Pretty simple, isn't it? Hey, pray with me, will you? Did we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, as we've just read your word, and as we're talking about doing our devotions, that it wouldn't be some kind of, religious thing that people who say they're Christians do, but God, that we'd see it as a very life source. This is who we are. And as much as we don't question eating, breathing, that God, how natural it is for us to do those things, that it would be in the same way for us in these ways in which we must feed our spiritual lives, something that we do to sustain life. God, help us to see it that way. In Christ's name, amen. And so here we are. Mixing Bible reading with Bible praying, the flip side of it. Now, let me just say a couple things as we try to connect to last week, Bible reading. And once again, we see from Hebrews 4:12 just how powerful the Bible is. That, what you're holding in your hand, this is a gold mine right here. And it makes us rich in so many ways. And so for us to develop that kind of habit, is something that ought to go without question. But let me just, by way of review, say a couple of things. Let me just begin by telling you this little story. Some of you may have heard a little cute little story about little Johnny and Children's Church. And Their children's church teacher was, you know, talking about the children of Israel and how they started to go into the promised land and how they came, you know, to the walls of Jericho. And remember how they were marched around all this. And so she's quizzing the class and she says, now, you know, who broke down the walls of Jericho? And little Johnny, you know, raises his hand, you know, I know. And she calls on him, he says, boy, you know, kids, I know. And then you call him, I don't know. He says, but it sure wasn't me. And, you know, she kind of, you know, laughed it off and then was, you know, thought about it, was taken aback by the rest of the class and their lack of really understanding of some simple Bible facts. So she brought it to the children's church director's attention afterwards, and, you know, they had a little powwow, and she said, boy, she says, you know, I asked little Johnny, you know, and about this question, and the rest of the kids, you know, they didn't know who brought down the walls of Jericho. And the director replies, now, well, you know, I know his family, Johnny's family, and says, they're very good Christians and very good people, and I know if Johnny says he didn't do it, I can vouch for him, he didn't do it. So she was even more surprised. You know, strike two, she was more surprised. And so the children's church teacher says, boy, you know, I'll bring it to the pastor's attention. What's going on here? And so she goes to the pastor, she relates to them the whole story, so he listens in a very pastoral way to her telling this, and he replies, and he says, well, listen, he says, I can't see why you're making such a big issue out of this. We'll just get three quotes, and we'll fix the wall. And of course, you know, it's a cute little story. It's exaggerated, of course, but I think that it relates to us something that when it comes down to just some very simple Bible facts, you know, that we wouldn't even know. And this is not to embarrass anybody or to shame anybody into reading their Bibles, because it's more than that. But doing devotions daily, reading our Bibles, Bible praying, keeps us in good health. It just keeps us in good health. And even as I was praying in just a moment ago and connecting it to how it is that we, you know, we eat to stay in good health, we exercise to stay in good health, other things that we do to stay in good health, that these, you know, these things that we're talking about are so that we can stay in good health, let alone a whole bunch of other things. For instance, you know, you can have a garden, and unless you devote time to keeping that garden, what happens? The weeds overtake it. I'll never forget the first year that my son Bobby had a garden. It was like, I couldn't see the tomatoes for the weeds. And he just wasn't there, you know, spending time. And you know, you can have a job, and you can have a career, and unless you devote the time, the energy, all of those things that go into keeping your career, keeping your job, it's not going to go very well for you. Unless you know, you can have a talent, and unless you do what that talent needs, your talent, you'll get rusty. I don't care how, you know, it always amazes me. Some of you know the name Isaac Perlman, right? Violin virtuoso. And, you know, at different times hearing him talk about his life, he would talk about the hours that he would spend practicing. It's just amazing to me that you take, you know, he was a child prodigy, of course, and, you know, given talent, a gift to be able to play, but yet having that, he still had to work at it. And you can have a relationship with God, and unless you devote the time and the other things that we spoke about that I'll mention in just a moment to all of those things that go into having a relationship with God, weeds can grow. and fruit will be minimized. Your talent can get rusty. Your relationship with God can get rusty. And the Bible calls that becoming lukewarm, all of those things. And so doing devotions daily keeps us in good health, keeps our relationship with God where it ought to be. And so we want to continue on that theme and realize that we have to devote time, as I said. Remember the four or five things we said? Devoting time to it and devoting a place where we can have our devotions. Devoting, what else did we say? Oh, attention. You know, giving it my attention so that I'm going to remove distractions, you know, keep my phone in the other room, right? Whatever it is that I have to do to remove distractions so that I can give it my utmost attention. I'm going to be careful when it comes to how it is that I apply what I read to my life. And we said that how we read the Bible is as important that we read the Bible, and that we have to keep in mind that how I read the Bible, I can read it wrongly. I may not get it right. And so when I read it, I have to be careful to realize that, boy, I'm reading some things here, but there are literary rules that I have to follow so that I get it right and not just pull it out of its context and apply it to anything. Never works that way. Never works that way. How? And then we said the Holy Spirit. Oswald Chambers speaks of, the scripture was given to us by revelation of the Holy Spirit, and we have to read it in that same revelation of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to help us understand this book. And so how we read it is very important. So these are some things that we said about that, about reading the Bible. And I trust that you are reading your Bibles. I trust that you are developing the habit of reading your Bibles and that you're just getting into it. And the thing about getting into your Bible is that it has a way, it's alive, it's at work, of getting in to us, of getting into you. It will get into you. And so now I want to, like I say, flip the side over here and start reading and start talking about Bible praying. You with me this morning? Please be with me. I don't want to go alone. But Bible praying. Do devotions daily. So let me just read you a couple things. And this is from a book entitled Praying the Scriptures. How appropriate. I've had it on my shelf for a while. Praying the Scriptures by Judson Cornwall. And a famous Bible teacher, dead now. But he says, the Bible is a prayer book. It commands us to pray more than 250 times, and speaks of prayer, prayers, and praying an additional 280 times. So that's 530 times, right? It says, no doctrine that we preach is mentioned as many times as is prayer. Furthermore, the Bible gives repeated examples of great men and women praying, and many of those prayers are reported to us, are recorded here in our Bibles. And so he says, the Bible can also become the very prayer that we need to pray, praying the Scriptures. So I want to say some things about that in our moments left together. Will you allow me to, please? Listen, praying the Bible, did you hear what I said? Praying the Bible keeps your Bible reading what it's supposed to be. Praying the Bible. So that praying the Bible isn't just, I mean, reading the Bible isn't just going there to clock my time to say, yeah, hey, you know, I read the Bible today. Praying the Bible keeps it what it's supposed to be. What is it supposed to be? It's supposed to be where I talk things over with God in such a way that it's personal. It's up close and personal. It's up close and personal. And that's how it works. That's how it works when I pray the Bible. It becomes that. So that it's not just, you know, putting in my time, but it's a way in which I maintain my relationship with him. So that when I read the Bible, I come in this way. When I open this word, it's God talking to me. He's talking to me. And now, when I pray, guess what I'm doing? I'm talking back to him when I pray. See? And it takes it out of the realm of monologue and puts it into the realm of dialogue. That's called communication. You know, studies have been done, and some of you have heard this, when it comes to, let's say, marriage and two people getting along. And it's like, you know, it used to be, the old philosophy was, the old understanding was to keep people together who are married. Well, find something to do that you both enjoy doing. You know, marry someone who has the same interests, same likes, across the board, everything is homogenized into the same thing, and you will have a successful marriage. Well, they have found out quickly that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That what works is, regardless of the diversity of your interests, you talk to each other. You communicate with each other. You know? That you share with one another. You talk. Communication. Communion. And that will keep your relationship together. Well, that's how it works in our relationship with God as well. And sometimes we don't think of it that way. That we come, you know, I'm listening, but now I want to talk back. And he's expecting me to communicate back with him. And so let me just mention a couple of ways that you can put that into practice in your life, okay? Meat and potato stuff. That's what I'm all about, okay? Meat and potato stuff. Now, so when you do your devotions daily, yes, of course you pray. What I mean by that is you're not necessarily praying exactly from the Bible or using the Bible, but you have requests, situations in your life, right? People you're praying for, you're asking petitions of the Lord, you're giving thanks, whatever. And of course it works that way, that there are requests, there's needs, there's situations. And when you do your devotions, that's the time to pray. You zero in on something and you pray in that way. In my own life, 2016, one of the goals of my life in prayer is that I'm going to start praying for something that I've been not just neglecting to pray for, but I have been wanting to pray about. And so it's been 3 days now and I haven't done it yet, but it takes me a while. Baby steps. I'm getting there, but I'm going to do it. So, of course it is. But here's what I really want to zero in on, okay? And this is what I want to magnify, make it big in our lives when it comes to doing devotions daily. Did I say that already? Doing devotions daily? So doing devotions daily, one side is Bible reading. What's the flip side? Bible praying. So Bible reading, Bible praying. And that's what I want to zero in on, okay? In particular, is Bible praying. What do I mean by that? Well, a couple of things, right? Bible praying. Judson Cornwall hit on it, all right? This, God's Word, is a prayer book. And so when I come and I read, and I'm doing my devotions, and like I say, if you're like me, I'm reading through the Bible this year, and I happen to be, as I said, right now in Genesis, I just read Genesis chapter 11, I'm about to come on Genesis chapter 12. And so as you're reading through, one of the ways that you pray the Bible is wherever you are in your devotions, you take something from that Bible reading and you turn it into prayer from what you read. Something that stood out from you, to you, from what you read about so-and-so, this happened, that happened, how this works, how that didn't work, and you turn that into prayer using the Bible to God. So it's using the scriptures, turning in what you've read into prayer and praying it back. Talk it back to God. He's talking to you from Genesis, which is the only way that we can, that the only way that we ought to be looking at the Bible when we read it is that God is talking to me. And so now I'm going to talk back. I'm going to take something here from what I read and talk back. And it can be as simple as, and most of the time, this is the way it works. Boy, you know what, God, I don't get that. What? Well, how does that work? And I, you know, I read something here, I read something there, I connect the dots. In my Bible, very often, you know, I got something underlined here, I'll draw a line, you know, connecting because they're connected in some way. And I'll come up, I said, boy, you know, I don't get that. How does that work? So, I'm praying. I'm dialoguing with God. God, how does this work? What did that mean there? What's going on there? And now the thing that I'm careful is, when I do that, is that I am not expecting three angels to show up at my door. You know, oh, thank you. Yeah, hey, Bob, you know, we were just sent from God, and we've come here, you know, to explain to you, to give to you the answer to what you just requested. Let's go sit down. And no, that's not what I'm expecting. Now, I will say that sometimes as I consider what's being said and I'm praying, there is this flash, this light bulb that goes off. And it's like, a eureka moment, right? Ah, oh, wow, I see that. I can't tell you how many times that has happened. And I take it as, hey, God just spoke to me. He showed me something here from that. And I get it. I say, wow, that's pretty cool. A lot of times it doesn't work that way. But in the process of time, he shows us. And something is made clear. Okay? So just to help us get that. So that's the first way. Here's the second way. First way is we pray over what we read, right? So that this, before I move on to the second way, and only the second way, there's only two. Let me just say to you what's happening when you do that. Besides, you know, there's dialogue, this kind of stuff. What you're doing when you pray over the scriptures is what you are doing is that you are reading into your life. You are reading into your life circumstances God's word. You understand? You are applying God's word to your life. As you read this and you come across something, you say, hey, you know what? Man, I need that in my life, or I can see that. This is, you know, what I need to have happen, or this speaks to me in this area of my life. You have just put God's word to work in that area of your life. And believe me, it will work. Wow, that's pretty cool. I like that. Here's the second reason, okay? Here's the second way that we make God's word work by Bible praying. Pray the prayers that are written in the Bible. There are many of them, lots of them. You can Google it. Google prayers of the Bible, and it'll probably print out, probably come up with all the prayers in the Bible. What are they? They are prayers in the Bible specifically that were prayed by Bible characters. There are many of them. The way in which, you know, Abraham prayed, the way in which Moses prayed. And, you know, all through my life, I have practiced that. I have taken prayers that various Bible characters have prayed, and I have made them my own prayers, where I can almost rattle them off from memory. I've prayed them so much. Okay? So that's one way. Find different Bible characters in the Bible. See what they prayed. See how they prayed. Make it your prayer. Pray those prayers yourself. That's why they're there. Another way or another area that we see where there are prayers in the Bible are what other people prayed for other people in the Bible. And, you know, one of the quick places you can go to see that kind of thing is, say, you know, the New Testament where Paul prays, you know, Paul, he wrote a letter to the Ephesians, let's say. And when he begins the letter, he says to them, in so many words. Hi, Ephesians. You know, how you guys doing? God bless you. And by the way, I'm praying for you. And then he writes what it is that he's praying for them. And I say, I'm going to take that. And I'm going to pray that for myself. I'm going to pray that for other people that I know as well. And I'm going to pray those prayers. I'm going to make those prayers my prayers for the way in which I'm praying as well. Wow. Okay. When we do this, this helps us to connect with the will of God in praying. And you remember what I said earlier, it's the will of God prayers that we pray that get what? Answers. It's the will of God prayers that we pray that gives us a hearing with God. And boy, you can bet your bottom dollar that when you come to this word and you turn this word into prayer, you're praying God's will. You can bet everything that when you pray prayers that have been prayed, that are recorded in this word, and you make them your own, you better believe you're praying the will of God. And he will answer, guaranteed to answer. Now, there's a couple of things that this does for us. Have you ever been lost for words when you pray? You know, it's like, God bless so-and-so, God bless them, God bless, and you know, how often, God bless, you know? And I think that's good to say that. When you think of me, please say, God bless Bob. Please say, God bless Bob, you know? But God help us to fill it out. Because here's the key. Specific prayers get specific answers. Okay? And so fill it out. Fill out, round out your praying. How can you do that? Pray the prayers that are recorded here. Use these words recorded here. You will never be at a loss for words to pray using this word to pray. You'll never be empty. You'll never go empty. You will always have something to say when you pray. That's one of the things that will help you. It will increase your prayer life by giving you something to pray. The other thing that I have found that I have practiced in my own life that I would commit to you would be this practice. I've been in the practice for years and years and years and years. Son of a gun. In years and years. Holy cow. Who was it? Candy said to me that I'm in a new decade, and I said, yeah, the 60s. I like the 60s. I think it has the best music. I mean, the best of everything in the 60s, you know. I'm now in the 60s. Is this. I write out my prayers. I have a whole stack of 3x5 cards that are prayers that I have written out over the years. That many of these prayers are momentous events in my own life that I look at them as very significant prayers. And I've written them out on a 3x5 card. And I have prayed them over and over and over and over and over again. I have prayed them at times when my prayer life I've run into some sludge. And it's like, you know, it's like the adults on Charlie Brown. That's what my prayer life sounds like. And it's like when I have felt like that in praying, and also not very much like praying, it's like one time one of the guys I was discipling, a young man that I led to the Lord, he was having some problems, and he said, what do you do when you don't feel like praying? And I said, I pray anyways. Well, having written out my prayers on 3x5 cards, when I don't feel like praying, guess what I do? I open my drawer, my top drawer, right, and I pull out my 3x5 cards. And I say, let me pray a couple of these prayers. I pray them, and I put them back. I say, thank God I had those written out. You could do the same with the prayers that are written in the Scripture. The same with using your Bible in prayer. Because there will be lots of time. Don't you know this by now? that you will not feel like it all the time? Isn't that life? How many mornings do you wake up and say, boy, I just can't wait to get to work this morning? You know, especially now. I mean, it's January. It's going to be in the teens. We could get snow. Oh, I just can't wait to go out and brush my car off so that I can, you know, scrape the ice, tromp through, and make it to work today. Oh, I'm just so excited. No, we don't. But what do, even though you don't feel like it? What do? You go to work. You go to work. Mike accepted. There's an exception to Mike. You know, you know, but we do. How many, listen, isn't that maturity? Maturity is what? Learning to like what we don't like. That's maturity. It just is. See, we think it's just the opposite. You know, the older I get, the less I have to do that I don't like to do. That's not maturity. Somebody has to tell you this. You know, I'm sorry, but that's not maturity. You know, that's staying small. Maturity is just the opposite. It is learning to like what we don't. When I was a kid growing up, there was only one vegetable and one vegetable only that I would eat. Corn, right? Who's like Ab, right? And it's like, broccoli, you got to be out of your mind. Carrots, jump in a lake. You know, peas, ay, ay, ay. Peas, you got to be kidding. Brussels sprouts,
yeah.
You know, asparagus. That you said asparagus in my presence when I was a kid, it was like swearing, using a four-letter word. I'm not kidding. Asparagus. You got to be kidding. And it's like, here's the deal. As I have grown, there is not a vegetable that I will not eat and enjoy. There's not a vegetable. There isn't. Brussels sprouts? Oh, man. Now, you got to make it right. You fry up some bacon, put some roasted cherries in there too. The dried cherries, dried cherries in there. Throw in the Brussels sprouts with some butter. Oh, I'm telling you. I don't know what it is, but it's good after that. I'm telling you, it's good. No, but I will. I will steam Brussels sprouts and eat them just like that as well. Just to make that point. And so, yes, you know, let's get down and dirty. Let's get down and dirty. Are there days that I don't feel like being married?
Yes.
Yes. But here's the thing. When I wake up in the morning and I roll over, I come face to face with my bride of almost 40 years and accept the reality that whether I feel like it or not, I'm married. Okay. But by down and dirty, I mean, yes, I don't feel like it. You know? When we're watching TV and she's got to have the remote, I don't feel like being married. It's just the law of the remote. That's child's play. But she knows. Oh, come on. But I mean, this is just being real. And so you say, what do you do when you don't feel like doing your devotions daily? Bible reading and Bible praying. Do it anyways. Well, there's so many obstacles. You know, I feel this way because. I don't care what the feeling is, because do it anyways. It's like, but you don't know what I just said, and I was so angry. It's like as though God didn't see what you said, and he didn't see you get angry. He saw it. You know, do it anyways. Okay, we're 3 days in. Right? January 3rd, we're 3 days in. It's not too late if you haven't started. It's not too late. You're just a few pages behind. Devote to it. See, this is what we're talking about. Doing what daily? Devotions daily. Doing what? Devotion. Devote yourself to it. You know, devote yourself to it. Here, Mary, get married to your devotions. Get married to your Bible reading and Bible. You know, what would happen? You know, I talked to someone earlier. What would happen? You bring, you know, the couple's here. They've come down. She's all, you know, dressed. Everybody, flower. Everybody's standing here. And they're going to say their vows to each other. And he begins and he says, you know, he says, well, you know, we're getting married. I love you. I just want you to know, though, you know, and that if I just, I may be bugging out if this doesn't work out. And she looks at him and she says, well, you know, I was thinking the same thing. Back at you. What kind of marriage do we have? Huh? I didn't hear what you said.
Honest.
Honest. We have an honest marriage that's going to what? Tank. Tank. But in good faith, we have those marriage vows for good reason. Because there is that serious, there is that serious devotion that goes into two people coming together that if they don't what? Commit to it, forget it. And so here it is that I'm asking you to do as we stand and pray. Will you stand with me and let's pray? Will you get married to doing devotions daily? Will you commit to it? Your Bible reading, your Bible praying. I've given you just a few, as I said, meat and potatoes ways. I mean, this is simple, right? Simple.